Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not sure how, go to paulwinkler.com/how to subscribe. All one word, how to subscribe, or click on the link in the show note.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
Back here on the Investor Coaching Show, I'm Paul Winkler. PaulWinkler.com. That is where you find the podcast. Yeah, I was reading the journal. I thought I would just share something in there that I thought was good. It's just a good message, I think. Not a whole lot to do about investing, although there be some implications regarding to investing. You just know I'll twist it that way to help you see something investing-wise that's important. This is toxic positivity is very real and very annoying. It starts off talking about, you know, one of the worst things you can do, person that feeling bad is, hey, cheer up. You know, have you ever had that person that comes around, just cheer up, everything's going to be better. And you just want to go, I just want to hit you. Chipotle learned this the hard way. At the beginning of the pandemic, his daughter Hillary called him in a panic. She and her husband had recently purchased an apartment in Brooklyn. Now she was worried that real estate prices in New York were falling and her friends were leaving the city. I guess one thing you can look at right there is, you know, that can be a challenge with real estate. You buy something and then all of a sudden companies leave, a pandemic happens, taxes go up in whatever area that you were, demand, you know, actually dries up, interest rates change, and there are all kinds of problems with real estate. I guess that was I didn't even think about that as an investing implication here, but that was definitely one. But you don't want to say that to this lady after she just bought the place, you know, that's not a good idea. But anyway, this Mr. Hooley, 60, a financial firm executive, interrupted her. Don't worry, this will all work out for the best. He said, launching into a pep talk, and he says, I gave her all these positive talk, all these positive thoughts. I felt like Batman saving the world. And then his wife, you know, when your wife pipes up and says, hey, you know, listen, what you just did really was bad. You know, you're in trouble. Anyway, she says, that was the most annoying conversation I've ever heard. She says, your daughter wanted to talk to her dad and you didn't even listen. And, you know, there's always a bright side of life, right? Well, sometimes not necessarily. And you don't want to go and bring this stuff to people and you know, come in and just say, yeah, this is just think positive. Just, you know, you're going to feel better. And they call it toxic positivity. I guess you got toxic masculinity. Now you got toxic positivity, I guess is the next thing we got to worry about. The positivity given in the wrong way, the wrong dose at the wrong time. This David Kessler, grief expert and author of 6 books about grief, including his latest, Finding Meaning, the 6th stage of grief. You know, so you have all the 5 stages of grief, and now he's got a 6th one. And he says, you know, coming in there and saying, cheer up, don't worry. That can be a tough thing. There was back in ancient Israel, you would have, you know, sitting Shiva, which is basically somebody's going through something bad, and your job was to sit silent with them. This is me talking. I'm just, you know, just telling some history here. And you just sit silent with them because the reality of it is somebody just needs somebody to sit next to them sometimes when they're going through something like that. And, you know, when people go through grief, you know, that's probably, you know, guys, a lot of times we want to fix stuff, right? I know I do. I am totally guilty of that. I want to fix stuff. And I've had to learn, no, don't fix things, Paul. You can't always fix it. And especially, you know, people come in and they go, you know, I had this investment portfolio and this is what happened. And then they tell me a story and I go, oh, man, you know, you got to say, oh, cheer up. It's great. You're here now. No, you got, it's hard when you've had a loss of any kind. And, you know, difficult emotions, a lot of times what we want to do is just press them down. I just don't want to think about that. I you know, I can't handle your negative emotions or your your fear, your anger, your concern, your sense of loss, and so just suppress it seems like the easiest thing to do. But that's to deny reality. And our research shows that trying to stifle emotions, according to the article, says makes you feel worse because you never coped with them. Plus, they pop back up. It's like whack-a-mole. They pop back up. Brain power makes it hard to push emotion away and keeps you focused on it. And it's kind of like a form of gaslighting, people denying that people's experiences. You probably heard that phrase before, narcissism and gaslighting and that type of thing. And, what happens is, if you ask people with cancer, just stay positive. That'll help them beat their illness. Someone who was laid off that, hey, it's all for the best because you probably hated your job, or grieving siblings who were just told at least your mom died in her sleep or something, and this is the article again, at least your mom died in her sleep. And you go, it doesn't make me feel any better, really? And what you want to do is recognize that it's different from hope or optimism. Now, I've often been accused of being endlessly optimistic. And I think there's a big difference, between optimism and this. Because, really with optimism, if you look at stock markets, you look at investing markets, you look at, following academic principles and things like that I always talk about, if you look back through history, you see reasons for optimism because people are always moving forward. They're always trying to improve their lives. And when I own companies, I own stocks, I own an entity run by people who want to try to improve things. So I think there's a big difference between that, those two things right there. But, realize that it's different, they said in the article. Hope is different. It's different than hope or optimism. Emotions are rooted in reality. And, when people go through things, you just want to sit with them on it. I like that they put in here that it's not your job to solve another person's problem. But just being there to listen, listen to understand is such a big thing. And I like, that the way the article ended, the guy calls back his daughter and he says, I just want to let you know that your situation does suck. And he says, she was surprised. It was nice to be validated. And, that's true. It was just, you feel like, well, should I not feel this way when I've gone through something hard? Yeah, you ought to feel that way. Life can be difficult. And the reality of it is, it will be. I often use the parallel of life with investing because with life, you kind of expect bad things are going to happen. You know that they're not going to, every day is not going to be great. And same thing with investing. You're going to have days when the market's down. You have clients call and go, oh my goodness, what'd the market do today? And I go, yeah, I know it sucks. It really sucks. It stinks. I mean, it's just, I don't usually use it that way. It's usually stinks. I don't like it either. And, when you kind of look at it that way and go, yep, this is all part of it. And then, And when they see that you're not worried, that's for me. When people see that I'm not worried, I don't get overly anxious about those types of things. I'll have people call up during market downturns. During 2008, 2002, people call up and go, oh, this is what's going on. I go, yep, it's all part of the deal. And they would be like, yep, I see. And I would talk about what's actually going on. And they say, what gives me more calm is that you aren't worried. And I said, yeah, it's because we build a portfolio knowing that we're going to be going through this kind of thing. And that's what you do with investing. You build a portfolio that will withstand, as best you can, build a portfolio that will withstand everything that's probably coming down the pike. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So anyway, I thought it was just interesting. So if you're one of those people that always comes in and says, everything's going to be great. And, that can be kind of annoying.
All right. Let's change gears now.
Inflation debate hangs over stock market's record run. Now, of course, one of the things that I want to point out here, it's not a record run for many areas of the market. It's as, I have to point out over and over again, and those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis know where I'm going. Large U.S. companies, growth companies, record run. Yeah, great. 2009 was great. 2010, 11, most every year but one year, and the one year was just slightly negative. That was it. you've had large U.S. stocks up. And now they're selling for one heck of a price. I mean, the price of large U.S. companies for every dollar book value is fairly high, you know, the assets of the company. And if you look at it compared to earnings, it's fairly high. It's not outlandish, though. It's not like, you know, 100 to 1 or anything like that. You know, depending on how you look at it, 20 to 25 to 1, which is, it's just high, you know, if you look at it price compared to earnings, but it's not outlandish or anything like that. But they're saying inflation debate hangs over stock market's record run. And, you know, when I talked about a little bit already, I talked about how in the inflation rate, you have high inflation and some of the growth stocks can actually be very negatively impacted by inflation. And that's because if you look at the earnings that they're going to be clocking, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the future, they're worth less in today's dollar, in today's dollars, if you have a high inflation rate, because you have to use the present value of those earnings, you know, what they are in today's dollars, and that's the price you're paying today. You know, that's one of the things, you know, people don't realize is you are paying a price when you buy a stock, which is the present value of all the future earnings of the company is a big part of that. You know, so when we bring it back to present dollars, if the interest rate or the discount rate that is used in making that calculation is very high, that number would be lower right now. You know, so that is, in essence, something you have to really think about when you're, you know, calculating what, and you know, what people are calculating what to pay for a stock is, that's one of the things that is thought about. But the inflation debate is hanging over the stock market's record run because, you know, people are concerned, well, what if you have lots of inflation? What's lots of inflation? What can it cause? Well, it can cause interest rates to go up. When interest rates go up, then all of a sudden you've got a problem where companies that borrow money to, you know, perform operations or operate the company, they have a cost of doing business that is now higher. And if that cost of business becomes higher, that means that, you know, they're going to have to do something in order to overcome that cost in order to get their earnings to go back up. You know, so if you have a cost of doing business that goes up and then you got sales that don't change, then all of a sudden your earnings at the end of the day are going to be lower. And what am I buying when I buy a stock? I'm buying the rights to the earnings of the company, right? So you can have that hanging, and that's what they mean by that. So, but some investors still think persistent inflation may force officials to raise rates several times in 2022. Now, of course, we're talking about the Fed, and their control is more over the short-term interest rates. You know, the market, so much of the market out there for bonds, it has nothing to do with the Fed. I mean, it's really just individual investors and countries all around the world. And if you look at the sheer volume of money that buys bonds, it's huge compared to anything the Fed can do. You know, so when you're looking at interest rate policy, they're typically more concentrated on short-term interest rates. And long-term is really what I tend to look at more than anything. And if you look at long-term interest rates, 30-year bonds, still fairly low. I mean, good grief, it's 2%. So very, very low long-term rates. But anyway, so they're saying that it could cause them to raise interest rates, and the yield on the 2-year treasury, which tends to rise and fall with expectations for rate increases. Like I said, you know, shorter term interest rates held near 0.5%, highest level since March of 2020. Now, if you ask the average senior out there, if 0.5% seems very exciting to them, they're going to tell you you're crazy. You know, especially when you're looking at inflation rates, you know, exceeding 2% and you're only getting 0.5% on your money, you're basically losing 1.5% or more on your money in fixed income investments. But one of the things that I like to point out is this. You know, you read these types of articles, and one of the things I like to point out is that you go through, and if you get all the way to the bottom, you know, they're talking about how managers show that inflation was the top risk for investors. And the thing that I like to point out is, what is inflation? Prices going up. You know, so when I look at these types of things and I'm thinking fixed income investments because I'm worried about inflation, that is a huge risk because if inflation is even higher, that means my money sitting in a bank doing nothing, earning a 0.5% or whatever, is depreciating even faster. Now you could have, now what are they talking about? What are they thinking about? And why are they saying it's a risk? Because short run, stocks can go down. And when stocks go down with inflation, because interest rates may go up, right? And that could cause short-term profits to come down. Remember what you're buying when you buy stocks. You're buying rights to the profits of the company. And when they're looking at that, they're thinking, oh, short run, the profits could go down. The stock prices go down. And what you're missing is that eventually those companies are going to raise prices for their stuff. They're going to increase what they charge to buy cars. They're going to increase what they charge to buy computers. They're going to increase what they charge to buy bacon. We've seen that, right? And when they do that, when they increase that, and they have paid off maybe some of the debt because they wanted to get rid of it because they didn't like the high interest rates, then the earnings do what? They jump back up. And if you look back, you know, go back 30, 40 years, and you'll see that prices are way higher than they were 30 years ago. But the price compared to the earnings of the company, that ratio has remained the same. So hence, stocks have protected against inflation. And at the very end of the article, probably could have put this at the beginning of the article, you know, for my sake. Traders have frequently wrong-footed by the Fed's pace of interest rate increases in the past decade. And, you know, they've often had more aggressive moves by then, and they often priced in more aggressive moves by the federal bank or the central bank, only to be disappointed. In other words, these people act on this information as if they've got something really, really good, and they can act on it, and they can make money, and they can do something. Well, what did I say? What have I said for years? They don't know the future. They can't know the future. The future isn't given to them. And acting based on what these people are saying is nothing but a gamble. And I don't want to gamble with my money. I don't think you ought to either. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one! Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., PWI, an investment advisor registered in the state of Tennessee.